in Parashat B'Shalach. Well, start off with one interesting point toward the end of the parasha. The pasuk tells us that Moshe told Yoshua to lead a war against Amalek. Afterwards, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem tells Moshe to tell Yoshua that Hashem will eventually wipe out any trace of Amalek, and this is going to become Yoshua's job at a later point again. In any case, it's clear that the name of Yoshua is Yehoshua. And what's strange about that is that we find later in Parashat Shlach that when Moshe Rabbeinu chooses Meraglim, he chooses Hoshea ben Nun, Mount Ephraim, the Nasi chosen to represent Ephraim, was Hoshea ben Nun, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, called him Yehoshua. It says that Yikra Moshe Hoshea ben Nun Yehoshua. Yikra Moshe Hoshea ben Nun Yehoshua, and Moshe Rabbeinu changed the name of Hoshea ben Nun to Yehoshua. Rashi explains that this was a way of praying for him not to fall prey to the Meraglim and to the Yetzahara that persuaded the Meraglim to all rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu. If so, it seems that his name was changed to Yeshua later when he was sent out as the Meraglim, with the Meraglim. Why then is he called Yehoshua already over here in Parashas B'Shalach, well before that time? It's an interesting question. Actually, the Rishonim asked this question, the Rashbam in Parashas Shlach asked this question, and his answer is very interesting. He says that the name that Yehoshua was born with was Hoshea. Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that changed it to Yehoshua, but he could not change the name to Yehoshua at the time of the sending of the Meraglim. Rather, he changed his name to Yehoshua towards the beginning of Yehoshua's career, when Yehoshua started to serve Moshe Rabbeinu to be his Mesharet and to be the one that Moshe Rabbeinu would send to the people and would be the second in command to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu change the name of Yehoshua back then? What purpose was there, if the whole point of adding the letter to his name was to help him protect himself from the council of the Meraglim? The Rashbam explains that the reason why Moshe changed Yehoshua's name is because it was a common practice for a king, a person in a position of power, who has a mesharet, who has someone come to start to serve him, to start to be a second in command, it was common practice to change the person's name as a sign of honor. And he says, we find this with Yosef HaTzadik. Paro changed Yosef's name to Tzafas Paneach immediately upon appointing him to be the second in command of the kingdom, appointing him to a position of power second to Paro. Since he became Paro's Mesharet, his close servant, his name was changed to Tzafas Paneach as a sign that he is given a new name because he is given a new position, a position of importance. Perhaps this is related to the idea that a person who rises to power, it's as if he is born, it's as if he is becoming born and his sins are forgiven. We find that a person's sins are forgiven when he rises to power, as Rashi brings down in the end of a Yitzchak. And therefore, just like when a person's born, he's given a name, when a person rises to become second to the king, he's given a new name. Also, the king himself is obviously given a new name. He's called Paro, or Avimelech, or Malki Tzedek, whatever it may be, depending on where his reign is. and his original name is forgotten. I guess it's less common. It's a practice that's not perhaps commonly found, but this was what was done in the times of the Mikra, of the Chumash, as we find that all the kings of Mitzrayim were referred to as Paro. It's like sort of Mr. President. Anyhow, the second in command also had his name changed as a sign of honor. It's given a name of honor. Perhaps it's also because the king wants to feel as if he's the father to this person, and he's giving this person a new name, as if to say, he's mine now, he's my son. Just like the father gives a name, the king gives the second in command a name. The Chizkuni adds some interesting points to this. He says that we find a similar incident in many places in Tanakh when you look over what we find in various Sukkim. We find that Daniel had his name changed when he served Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar appointed him to a position of power where he was the most respected in Nebuchadnezzar's court. The Pasuk says that Nebuchadnezzar changed his name to Belshazzar. In fact, it says that he changed Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah's names also to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And that may also be, says the Chizkuni, because they were appointed to positions close to the king, so the king gave them new names to demonstrate that. And then he adds something very interesting and says that we find a similar phenomenon, perhaps, with Avram Avinu and Yaakov Avinu. Why did Hashem give Avram and Sarah new names? Because they became now second to the king. They were serving the king, meaning Hashem, very closely, so that they became the highest appointees in the court, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem gave them new names to testify to this fact. And Yaakov Avinu also was given a new name for this reason. Yosef also was renamed Yehosef, and that might also be for that reason. So, in any case, Yeshua's name was given to him by Moshe Rabbeinu, perhaps back in Egypt when he started to become the Mesharech of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Medrash tells us that Yehoshua performed Mila together with Moshe Rabbeinu, and all those Jews who did not have the circumcision performed on them while they were in Egypt. And therefore, we see that he already served Moshe Rabbeinu in Egypt. Perhaps that's when Yehoshua's name was changed to Yehoshua. Moshe Rabbeinu added the letter Yud to protect him from the Meraglim, as Rashi says later in Shalach. Perhaps he already knew that he, Moshe Rabbeinu, would not enter Eretz Yisrael, as we find that Rashi tells us in Shemot, Atosira, Melchemes, Lamar Alpha, Lachem Lotira. Moshe Rabbeinu was already forewarned that Hashem was not going to let him into Eretz Yisrael. In order to give him the extra tchus to be able to enter Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu added the Yud to his name, that Ko Yoshiach, Hashem should protect you from all the Yetzirahs and from anything that might prevent you from entering Eretz Yisrael. And that's why the Torah only mentions that Moshe changed his name to Yehoshua at a later point when he was sent out to the Meraglim. In addition, it could be that Moshe Rabbeinu referred to Yehoshua as Yehoshua back in the beginning when he appointed him to, Yehoshua started to serve Moshe Rabbeinu. However, other people refer to him still as Hoshea. Perhaps Moshe Rabbeinu, due to his modesty, didn't want to publicize the fact that he had given Yehoshua a new name. However, later, when Yehoshua was sent along with the Meraglim, and Moshe Rabbeinu wanted the tchus of Eretz Yisrael to protect him and to prevent him from falling into the same pitfall as the Meraglim did, then perhaps Moshe Rabbeinu publicized that his name was Yehoshua, so that everyone began to call him Yehoshua, and that's why it says, Vayikra Moshe l'Hoshea ben Nun Yehoshua, meaning perhaps Moshe Rabbeinu did so publicly and allowed everyone to know that Yehoshua's name was really Yehoshua at that point. That's why the Pasuk only mentions at that point that Moshe Rabbeinu called him Yehoshua, meaning called him Yehoshua publicly. However, between themselves, Moshe Rabbeinu had called him Yehoshua all the way back from when Yehoshua started to serve Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, of a few more minutes, Rabbi Zutnik will start in about 5 minutes. Let me say with some other interesting points on the parasha that the Meshech Chochma mentions, the Meir Simcha from Dvinsk, wrote in the, that 75 years ago, in his Sefer Meshech Chochma, an interesting interpretation of the verse in Oz Yashir. Oz Yashir was the song that the Bnei Yisrael sang to thank Hashem for coming out of the, going through the sea, splitting the sea. And in it they mention, Micho Mocha Bo'elim Hashem, who can be compared to you among the powerful ones of Hashem? Micho Mocha Nedor Bakodesh, who can be compared to you, the one who is, whose strength is holiness? Noro Sehilos, his praises are awesome. Osei Fela, and he performs miracles, he performed wondrous acts. The Meshech Chochma suggests a novel interpretation of this verse by pointing out the difference between what makes what defines praise of Hashem and what defines praise of a blessed of Adam, of a man of flesh and blood. A man of flesh and blood is considered to be powerful if he's able to hide himself, if he's able to keep things secret and prevent others from seeing his full abilities. That sometimes demonstrates a person's power, when he's sort of hidden and nobody really knows what he's up to and what he can do and where he's at. With Hashem, he says, it's just the opposite. With Hashem, it's natural for us not to be able to understand anything that Hashem does or anything that Hashem is. How could we understand a godly being, a totally metaphysical being, who's above and beyond anything that's created, since he is the one that created everything? It's logically impossible to understand that. It's so far from our reasoning. And therefore, anything that we can understand is a pella, is wondrous. Well, for instance, just to give a simple, to put something in our frame of reference, mashal, comparison of what this means, that we can't possibly understand what Hashem is, just to get a grasp of the idea, it will be convenient to bring the model from physics. We find that the physicists already at the turn of the century pointed out that the world might have more dimensions than we see. Besides the three spatial dimensions, there could be more dimensions that are not apparent to us, perhaps because they're folded up so tightly. Modern string theory uses this to a great extent and claims that there are 6 hidden dimensions or 7 hidden dimensions, and in other mathematical formulations there are 26 or more dimensions that are hidden. What does it mean that there's more than 3 dimensions? You could go up, down, front, back, and ask, well, what other ways, what other dimensions can there be? What other ways of it to stretch out? It's very far from the imagination, and even the greatest physicists have trouble trying to picture such an idea. And the best we could do is compare the difference between 2 and 3 dimensions, a flat surface and a 3-dimensional surface, and extend that to what might be the difference between a 3-dimensional surface and a possible 4th dimension or more. And it's something that's just impossible to visualize, yet we know that it can exist. And it's something that the physicists have very strong evidence for. In a certain sense, that could serve as a model for us to understand how impossible it is to understand anything about God and what He is and what He does and any of His traits. For this reason, the Rishonim tell us that we can understand only what God is not, not what Hashem is, but what Hashem is not. What Hashem is, it's impossible for us to fully grasp. So the Meshech Chochma says, this is what the pasuk means over here. Micho Mocha Nedav HaKodesh. Kodesh means separate, means cut off, means different. Hashem's power is the fact that he's so separated, so different, that we can't possibly grasp what He is. And that's what Hashem is. Nora Tehilos, Hashem's praises are awesome. Nora means we're afraid to say any praises, because any praises can't possibly describe Him. The only praise that could describe Him is what He is not. And therefore, anything that we do understand is really the Pella. Anything that we are able to understand of Hashem is the Pella, and that's why when the Bnei Yisrael saw Hashem Kaviyachol, when Hashem revealed Himself to the Bnei Yisrael when they crossed the sea in a way that no other was able to witness, the Bnei Yisrael said, O Sefela, we see that He can make wondrous acts. The wondrous act was that He did show Bnei Yisrael a certain amount of appreciation of what Hashem is. He was able to reveal to the people a certain measure of Zer Keli Vanveyu, of being able to understand Hashem to a level that the prophets did, and that is the wondrous thing, that there is something to understand. The wonder is not that we don't understand what Hashem is. The wonder is that there are times when Hashem does reveal Himself to us. Okay.